Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Giggle.
The Giggle. Hello,
yay.
Everybody.
Hello, everyone. So Jeremy and I already broke our New Year's resolution, which was what? To do a show every week, right?
We were going to do it every week.
Yes. And unfortunately, we didn't do it. We fell down on the job. But the reason is because the special guest that we wanted to have for our first show was available today. So we've waited because it's like become a tradition for The Giggle to start off our year with our favorite astrologer, Virginia Bell, who's going to tell us what the stars have in store for us in 2022. So hi, Virginia. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So I know that, you know, obviously I remember, oh my God, prior to the pandemic was like the first year that Jeremy and I, we got together with you at a fancy hotel. We were like,
oh, yeah, I remember. Hotel. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, and near Bloomingdale's.
Yes. And you predicted doom and gloom in a very bad way. And we were very nervous. And we were like, what? We thought this was going to be, 2020 was going to be our year. And it certainly wasn't. And 2021 has been a bit of like walking in a fog. So
I hear you. I hear you. I feel like I've been in the twilight zone, you know.
Right? And so Now here we go again, and it's like Groundhog's Day because we, you know, obviously we're hit with that Omicron variant in December, and now supposedly we're on the, you know, on the upswing and we're okay now. But I would love to know from you, is this ever going to end?
Well, I don't think we're going to go back to what quote unquote normal was. This is the new normal. You know, we're living in very unprecedented times ever here, you know, extraordinary times, and we have to adapt. It's not like, okay, I'm going to go back to my old life. No, we got to create a new one given the circumstances now. You know, when you think back to other pandemics, you know, early on in the, you know, and also other crises, there are many, many things in the world that happened, but you know, whether it was World War I, World War II, Vietnam, the Holocaust, they didn't have computers, you know, they didn't have cell phones. Now, you know, we see, we hear, you know, everything. Just being alive right now, to me, is a full-time job. Just being able, you know, processing everything that comes our way. That's a lot. It's a lot to handle. And I don't think we're going back to normal. Hopefully, you know, the pandemic, you know, things will, you know, get better in terms of the health crises. But look at everything else. That's one thing. But look at the floods, the fires, you know, the,
oh my God,
you know, the wars, right? I mean, this is not a normal time we're living in. But I always go back to one of my favorite writers and spiritual people is Pema Chodron. Do you know her? She's a Buddhist, American Buddhist nun, very quite famous. She's written a number of books. But in her book, When Things Fall Apart, and that certainly could be a catchphrase for right now. She said the healing comes from making room for everything, the sweetness, the sadness, the grief, the gladness, all of that. So my philosophy during these times is, yes, there's a lot of fear in the air, and I may be, you know, feeling like I'm, you know, just floating through this fog, but also, you know, trying to be happy each day in a small way. Do you know what I'm saying? To make room for everything that's going on in the world, but also to be inspired, to feel good, even if it's, you know, a few minutes a day. Do you know what I'm saying? To make room for all of that. We can't, like, be, you know, threatened by everything in the world. It's a new world. No.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
And we have to face that. And, you know, I don't think it's going to get, I think it will be different, you know, but it's not going to be particularly easy. And I know last year, did we speak last year?
Every year we do.
Yeah, so I think last year was the big aspect in 2020, which the astrologers predicted, not all the astrologers predicted there would be a pandemic in end of January. I think it was like late January, where there was a specific time when two heavy planets, you know, two intense planets, Saturn, reality, responsibility, hard work, and Pluto, birth, death, and transformation, you know, all of that stuff. Those two planets came together in January. And the astrologers knew there would be a major world crisis. A few of them did predict there would be some kind of health issue. And, you know, that was the beginning of the pandemic right then. And it turns out that Pluto and Saturn come together, I think it was every 20 or 40 years. And, you know, they came together in the late 80s, and, you know, or was it the beginning 80s? And that was the beginning of AIDS. And then in 1947, that was polio. They were together again, you know.
Oh,
wow. So there's a strong aspect that happened, of course, when the pandemic began in 2020. But last year, the major aspect, and I think I must have talked about it if I was on the show, is that, again, Saturn, hard work, seriousness, tough love, was making a square to the planet Uranus, which is expect the unexpected. Uranus is that planet of, you know, of freedom, individuation. It's the rebel. It's the outlaw. Saturn wants to, you know, dig its heels in. It does not like change. Change at no cost, period, you know. Uranus wants freedom and individuation. And so it can feel... When Saturn, it can feel particularly cruel when Saturn and Uranus connect in a hard aspect, because Saturn threatens the aspects of our life that provide us with the most security. So Saturn does not want change, and Uranus is the planet of change. So this is, last year I called it the life-changing magic of tidying up. You know what I mean? Not necessarily
right.
Cleaning out our closets, but cleaning out our life. So Saturn wants the old stuff. And I'm saying this, you know, I'm referring to 2021 last year, but these planets are still traveling together. And they're both co-rulers of the sign Aquarius. So the two Titans, you know, are at odds here. And so when these two planets come together, Saturn holding on does not want change, and Uranus wants a revolution. It's a wild card. What happens, you know, the best advice I can give is have to be willing to let go of whatever is holding us back. That's Saturn. We've got to make the changes. We can't just live in the past. And Uranus wants change, wants freedom, individuation. So, and this year also, this year, they're not as strong as last year, but they do make, in 2022, they come very close to each other, especially they're close now within several degrees. And then again, October, September, and November. And again, this is something that we're all feeling, but certain of us are feeling it more, this push-pull, you know, between, you know, staying safe and making some big changes. So my best advice is to let go of whatever is holding us back. And that means old habits, you know, whether
right.
it's, you know, giving up cigarettes or coffee, or, you know, getting back to the gym, or it could be just, you know, old judgments, negative thinking. All of that has got to go. We're moving into the Aquarian age. We can't be dragging our old wounds and old habits into this new world. And the reason I say, you know, that it affects all of us, but some of us are affected more. That is because Saturn is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Taurus. So those six signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius may be feeling this more. When I say maybe, I mean they definitely are. But I'm personally, I'm a double Taurus, so I've had some of the worst aspects last year. Saturn squaring my sun, hard things, and Uranus, which is exciting, unexpected things. Some unexpected things I didn't want. So any of you out there who are born, like for instance, if you're a Taurus, the very end of April or early May, or if you're, you know, Scorpio, again, the end of Libra and early mid Scorpio, and then the same thing with Leo, the very end of July and early, you know, August, and also Aquarius, end of January, early February. So some of us, those are the ones where we're really, have the most challenges last year. But also what I've learned too over this period, that even a crisis can be part of the master plan. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You lose your job, you break up, you get divorced or whatever, and it can work out. But again, it's the change we didn't ask for, you know, and that famous Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, you know.
to tell you, there's somebody here that actually called in, so I'm going to see if they hi.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Is there somebody here who I see that another person was on the line. Would you like to say something?
Hey. How you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, I was wondering how Capricorn's doing this year.
Oh, well, let me ask you, yes, Capricorns have been, because Capricorns are feeling it, let me tell you, because Pluto, god of the underworld, has been in Capricorn since 2008. Now it's at the very end of Capricorn. So I'm wondering, is your birthday later in Capricorn?
It's Christmas Eve.
Say it again?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. So you're this, well, that was fair. That's fairly early. So your sun would be about 7-8 degrees of Capricorn. But again, without, you know, you may have other planets in Capricorn and you may have other things in your chart. So, but the people who are born later in Capricorn, they're having Pluto traveling with their sun. That's not a friendly passenger. Let me just say that, you know. But Capricorn, if you're a Capricorn, you know, you're dedicated. You know, this is a powerful time for you. So make some big changes. You know, be willing to let go, even maybe the small changes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And Venus has been traveling in Capricorn. Also, Venus and Pluto have been hooking up, so to speak, especially early January. And now Venus has been retrograde, and it goes direct, though, the 29th, which is tomorrow, which is good. But that may have affected you, because when Venus and Pluto come together, and Venus has been in retrograde, so when the planets go retrograde, they appear to be going backwards. So it's not a time to begin something. It's not a time to initiate something. And with Venus has to do with love. It has to do with relationship, art and beauty. So old lovers surface. There could be, breakups in relationship when Venus is retrograde, or just old memories of relationships surface during this time, as well as you wouldn't want to, for instance, necessarily buy art, you know, when Venus is going, seeming to be going backwards, or to invest big money. I'm not expert with this, you know, astrological finances and stock market, but I can't imagine that there hasn't been some corrections out there in the, you know, these days since Venus retrograde from January 14th to the 29th here. So, yeah. So, you know,
well,
I don't
Virginia,
know if that affects your relationship.
Virginia, I was going to say, I was talking with a couple people, and January seems people are really on their last nerve. And I just noticed it, like people's emails are a little shorter, a little less, you know, nice. And in stores and restaurants, people are just not as friendly as they used to be. And I don't know if it's, you know, if it's astrological or is it, are we just tired? Like, what is going on in January?
I think it's a little of both, Jeremy. I think we're worn out. You know, no one expected this was going to be last this long, you know. And but I also, you know, Mercury, the planet of communication, information, rules technology. It rules travel, all of those things. That's been retrograde from January 14th, and it's February 3rd will be going forward. So, yeah, sometimes we, you know, our communication is not as good. We make mistakes. We send texts we shouldn't have, that kind of thing. But I also think it's like, you know, we've just been worn out, you know, sort of like when you're sick, not necessarily with COVID, but even as a kid, you know, when you have a cold and it's just you get – you know, you get antsy, and it's just too much at a certain point, you know.
And there's a new variant I read. Actually, I heard this morning there's a new variant that they found, and they're calling it Stealth Omicron. And I was like, oh, please, no. Yeah.
What was that name again, Jeremy?
It's called Stealth. Omicron. So it's a variation on the Omicron.
Oh, my God.
But they found it in Washington. Washington State. And so I was, you know, watching the news this morning and I was like, please give us a break.
I know.
I have to tell you though, I'm very fortunate that I happen to be working with a leading ENT who works with the entertainment industry. And she pretty much is saying that, you know, with Omicron, it was a lot less severe as the other variants. It spread like wildfire, which means even more people got it. And if you're vaccinated, you're not winding up in the hospital because of COVID. You may have actually gone in for something else and they test you and you have it. But that's not what's going to kill you. So we have to stop. We have to get out of our own way. There's so many. This has played such a role on people's mental health that there are more suicides. There are more cases of depression from people.
You're absolutely right.
Being so fearful. You know, the only thing I could say about this where it's like the saving grace and all of it is, and Jeremy, I know, like, you and I don't like crowds. We like being around people and having fun, but I don't need to be around 1,000 people. So to think back in, like, you know, when I was in my 20s and I would go to, like, whatever it is, the Live Aid concert with, you know, tens of thousands of people, I'll never do that again. Again, you know, I'm all
no, never.
And
I don't know if my kids will either. You know, my daughter's gone to concerts where they were on top of each other. She caught Omicron because of SantaCon, you know, so she knows that it's like, yes, don't be in very large crowds with people you don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we're just worn out, you know.
Yeah.
We just, it's too much, you know, but that's why I think we have to, you know, just find things to be excited about and joyful about. I mean, not to be, you know, overly positive and, but every day trying to be happy about something. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it's too dull. It's too heavy. Go darkly.
Well, Virginia,
you know?
What you said, you know, positivity and, you know, looking, getting something out of this. And one of the habits I got was during the real bad pandemic, every morning I would check in with people on text.
Check on the what again?
Check on friends. I would just say, hey, how are you? And I continued that. I still do it. Like every morning, I'll just say, hello, good morning. Hope you have a great day. And so I think that really is
kind of a habit for me. That is a wonderful, wonderful habit that, that's fabulous. I love that.
And I kept it with me.
Huh?
What was that?
And I thought Jeremy was just doing that to me.
Oh. Well, you know what it is? It was during COVID, you know, I got really close to, I would say, about 10 people. You know, Virginia, I've always had a big birthday party. I've always had a big
group. Yeah, I remember, my God.
Group.
And in that bar, I mean, everybody's like stuck together, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. But, you know, then the world changed. The world stopped.
Yeah.
And I got really close to like 10 people, Beth being one of them. And it kind of, it changed me because I don't like crowds either. I don't want to go to big parties. I don't want to go rooftops. I want to go to a cozy restaurant. And so I think the good thing that came out of this for me was, you know, just understanding who your real friends are. And talking to them every day.
I think that is a great habit, a positive habit. Absolutely. And we need new things like that, you know?
Absolutely.
I think that is so important. I mean, I, like last year, you know, I finished a book. I haven't done anything with it, but I did, was in this writing program, and I finished this a book project that I've had sitting around. And, you know, I didn't mind, you know, the shelter, quote unquote, sheltering at home, you know, because, you know, I write and I do astrology. And now, of course, you know, doing it on Zoom and so forth. So I was just fine as long as I could, you know, walk out and get some exercise. You know, I was good. But I think a lot of good things did come out of that. And, you know, it's just, we have to look for the good, really.
Yeah, I mean, it really set us straight. And one of the other things, and I don't know if this is good or bad, was I don't really like leaving my neighborhood. And at first I was getting anxiety because, you know what, like your home is the one constant in your life, right? It's your safe place. It's the one thing you can control. And then when you leave, especially during the worst of COVID, everything's shut. And then we had protests and so I kind of became a homebody more than I usually am. And I got really comfortable in my house and reading and writing. I just can't see myself going back to that life
Absolutely.
Where, you know, you're going out all the time. And I can't see that ever coming back.
Yeah, I agree. But that's another great thing that, you know, unfolded. So I mean, there's a lot of good here, and you know, we have to look for that. Absolutely. And
so
letting go
of
old habits and creating new positive habits.
So what do you see this year?
I know I was going to say, and for me, it's like I last year and the year before that, I really got focused on my weight and maintaining a healthy weight and taking care of myself from a health perspective and really being mindful of the supplements I'm taking and the immunity boosters and all those things. And I never really paid attention to it before the pandemic.
That's fantastic, Beth.
Yeah. And on top of that, I have a mom who has Alzheimer's, which is really sad. And so I'm developing everything I can about memory and all of that. And then so I'm also doing a lot, you know, in terms of taking care of myself from that perspective.
Good for you.
I think you get to a point in your life where it's like you take stock of what's important and you realize that you can't live life with blinders on. And and health is the number one thing you have that you can control. And
that's
when
right.
you control all of it, you can actually help other people too.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And, you know, that is it. I mean, we have to move forward, not going back and hanging on to old things that don't really support us and empower us. You know, in a way, the rehearsal is over. This is a wake-up call, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you see? What do you see coming like that? The rest
well,
of the year, like,
one,
are there any things jumping out at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. absolutely. There's always something going on. But, you know, the big thing that astrologers are talking about now is that there is something called the Pluto return. You know how we have returns like the Saturn return at 29, midlife at the, you know, late 30s, 40s? Well, you know, you're not a country. United States, America, has their own chart, right? So countries have charts. And America is having a Pluto return. We have return, right? Okay. But Pluto, I mean, when we have a Saturn return, that's because Saturn has gone all the way around, takes 29 years to go all the way around, come back to where it was at birth in our chart. At 29, we have a Saturn return. We grow up. We get serious about something, right?
Right.
Midlife is a whole other thing, late 30s, early 40s. We do not have a Pluto return. Why? Because Pluto takes 246 or 47 years to go the way around. And guess what? If you add up 1776 with 246 years, guess when the Pluto return is 2022.
The Pluto, that's really scary, right?
In the United States of America's chart, returns on February 22nd of this year, next month. Now, I don't want to scare you, because it the last couple of years, Pluto is the Pluto at 27 degrees. That's when the return is, 27 of Capricorn. But even last year, it was, you know, very close. So this is not something new. What we've been seeing is like the pandemic, the floods, the fires, the wars, the violence, the political. Everything political. This is part of the Pluto return. It's been building. You know, yes, it gets to exactly 27 degrees, you know, next month, but it's been hanging around at 25, 26. So this is not new. It's not like some big thing is going to happen. But what on the 22nd? But the thing is, we don't know what the Pluto return actually will bring, because we've never had it. What we're experiencing is now.
You know,
yeah, it's huge. Yeah. And the astrologers are looking back to Britain. Why? Because it's an older country, and they've had three Pluto returns. First one in 1313, which was the Great Famine. But also the second one in 1560 to 62, when Queen Elizabeth I came to the throne. And this was a time of high drama. You know, Anne Boleyn, you know, beheading. Yep. Anne Boleyn, and then Mary Queen of Scots. But guess what? It became the Elizabethan era. It was the golden age of history and literature, and Shakespeare and Marlowe and John Dee, who actually coined the term the British Empire. It was a rebirth, but they had to go through the dark to get to the light. And then the third one, that was in about 1808, 1810. And that was a lot of wars. Also,
yep.
And of course, conflict with the newly independent United States.
Yep.
But it also, you know, was the golden age. So, you know, so yes, things sometimes get worse before they get better, but they can't get better unless they get worse. So, for America, we need to let go of all of, you know, again, we can't control, you know, the politics or the violence. So, but, you know, my sense is that this is enormous change happening in our world, in America, but it's not, nothing's going to drop like on the 22nd. It will, you know what I mean? But we will see, you know, enormous shifts. And I mean, just like all of the, you know, the Black Lives Matters and, you know, transgender people, more people being accepted and more people being honored too during this time. I mean, it's been an ugly time in a way to get here, but also there is a lot more acceptance. And again, when there's acceptance, there's also the opposition too. So it's not easy, right? But this is a powerful time and for our country. And
wow.
The other thing is this. So the degrees go up to 29. In other words, in each sign, in each, there's 0 to 30. So the last degree is 29. And so Pluto which started in 2008, it entered the sign of Capricorn. Business, banking, institutions, finance, all of that. That's Pluto, that's Capricorn, right? So in 2008, we saw a big crash, right? Financial crash. The planets, remember, the planets don't cause things to happen. They expose what's already there. You see, so Pluto didn't cause the crash and everything that happened with the government, the financial institutions. It exposed all the lies and the corruption. It's sort of like going to a doctor. The doctor tells you you have some disease. He didn't cause that. He's exposing that to you for change.
Right.
So Pluto went into Capricorn 2008. Next year, it will leave Capricorn. Capricorn is serious, ruled by Saturn, business, banking, you know, integrity, you know, and hard work, all of that, but not a lightweight planet, not easy breezy lemon squeezy. Now, next year, Pluto will enter Aquarius. Whoa. Aquarius is freedom, individuation. I am what I am. If you like me, fine. If not, interesting.
Right.
You know, that is again, ruled by both Saturn and Uranus. You know, so it's about freedom, individuation. So that is going to be interesting. Pluto will go into Aquarius next year, but it will slip out and go back into Capricorn for a little while and then go firmly into, in 2024, it will enter Aquarius for the next 20 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
So, we don't even know what that is going to be, but it will be profound because Pluto is deep. It's heavy. It's not a lightweight. It's about, you know, looking deeply at what is wrong. It's depth psychology, you know, and it is death, birth, transformation, all of that. And then, of course, Aquarius is all about change.
Amazing.
And it will be there for 20 years. So, you know, this about
get
this
used to it.
Death and change. Death and change. That's like, that's very, very heavy. I mean, and, you know, the one thing that I can say, unfortunately, you know, I'm at a point where I'm in the sandwich generation. So I have parents that are getting older.
Yes.
So I completely, I completely know that the next 10 years or 10 to 15 are going to be that for me. And at the same time, I have kids that are going to, you know, in their 20s. And so there's so many exciting things ahead for them. So I know it's like you're going to have to take the joy with the sorrow and
yes, absolutely, Beth. You know, making room for everything and the changes, it's the challenges are where we are too defended and rigid, you know, and we need to let go of that and be more open because the good news is we are entering the age of Aquarius. You know, absolutely. This is a new, it's just a whole new era. This Pluto return and then Pluto entering Aquarius is a very, very powerful time. So, I mean, you know, as they say that the famous Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, right? But
I love that people don't know that's a curse. I'm always, you know, someone will say that and I'm like, you know, I don't think that means what you think it means.
Yeah. Every time you open a fortune cookie, now we have to like go,
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but,
Virginia,
you know, go ahead. What are you going to say, Jeremy?
Well, I was going to say, you know, we're going to wrap up soon. This is like our favorite thing every year.
Can I give you some positive things happening?
Yes, please.
This is not heavy go darkly. well, for one thing, Venus is moving forward on the 29th. It's been retrograde, and Mercury's been retrograde. It'll go forward on February 3rd. And, of course, you know, there's always more retrogrades in the year. The thing is, what did I want to say here? You know, this new moon, there's a brilliant new moon in Aquarius. It's happening, let's see. January 31st and February 1st. I mean, it's early morning in February 1st. Sun and moon in Aquarius. In a sense, we're rebooting. we're realigning here. This is a new moon is always a new beginning, right? And this is a fabulous time because, and Uranus is a big part of that. The sun and moon are in Aquarius. Of course, Uranus is making a square to that, and which is a bit of a challenge, but it's, I think it's going to really inspire us to make some changes. And it's a brilliant time. And it's also, it is the same time as the Chinese New Year, which is always very exciting because, again, it's another new beginning, you know. And one of the thing, and also it's the season of St. Bridget, Imbolc, February 2nd, or Candlemas, which is, so this new moon, you know, on February 1st, gives us an opportunity to, make some dreams, set some intentions. The new moon is a new beginning. One of the things I do in January is choose a word or a phase for the year or phrase like forgiveness, unconditional love, you know, and, you know, or manifest. This year is my word is manifest because I have all these writing projects I want to put out in the world. So it doesn't cost and it can't hurt, you know.
And, right.
Yeah, create a vision board for the year or
Absolutely.
Write your own vision statement. But it is a time to reinvent ourselves and move forward. It's kind of a springboard, this new moon in Aquarius. Yeah.
I love that. I mean, Virginia, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Are you kidding?
You're the best, our favorite guest. And, I remember when you did predict it, Beth, I think it was March or April, and Beth's like, Jeremy, she predicted it. And we've listened to it again, and you did, so you are welcome anytime.
Well, also, Jupiter is in Pisces, and that's going to bring a lot of healing this year. And also, guess what, Jeremy? It moves into Aries. Jupiter moves into Aries, and that's you're in Aries, so this gives you some wind beneath your wings here.
Yay!
From May and then through October, and then it goes back into Pisces, and then next year it'll go into Aries again. So that, and for all of you other people, Jupiter in Pisces is a beautiful thing, and if you are a Pisces sun sign or Cancer, also water, or Scorpio, you'll have some wind beneath your wings this year. Yeah.
Well, we love hearing that.
Libra, so am I in like a heavy time?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Libra. Libra is such a lovely sign. I don't know. Let's see what's happening in Libra.
I'm October 22nd, so I'm kind of at the end.
At the end, Libras, I think the last year, the year before, that was very difficult for you. This is going to be much better, Beth. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yay!
Yes, we did have a lot of sadness last year. This, you know, definitely had a lot to deal with last year. So it'll be nice to be able to have a little bit of breathing room and, you know, just
absolutely.
In the year ahead. And my daughter's in Aries and just landed her first full-time job in fashion design. So I'm
really
so yes.
What sign is she?
She's an Aries. She's like Jeremy.
Oh, how fabulous! Jupiter there. Okay, that's great. That is great. Very exciting.
Yes.
Awesome.
So it's all
well,
good.
Well, it's good to end on good news and optimism and hope. Because we need it. Like after these last 2 years, it's good to hear that there is a silver lining that people
there's
do have
light,
something to
there's
look forward
some light
to.
There. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
February 12th, February 17th are very lucky days, actually. So that's, those are two really good days.
Well, thank you, Virginia.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jeremy, so we're back. So you've got good stuff coming up in your Aries sign.
Yeah, that was nice to hear. I'll take anything.
I mean, seriously, right? It's too funny. So I have to tell you, let's go into the entertainment part of our conversation. I have been binge watching like there's no tomorrow. And yesterday, we just finished part one of Ozark, and my mind was blown. That's all I got to say.
Oh, which season? Which season?
It's this current season, season four.
Oh, my God. I'm still – I watched season one, and then I didn't like season two, so I stopped watching.
Oh, no. It was good. I mean, it's like on the end of your seat. Yesterday when we watched – because the way they're doing it is – part one is seven episodes. Part two is seven episodes. So we binged all of part one, and I didn't even realize that yesterday was the last episode of part one. So this shocking thing happens, and I like jump out of my seat and I scream.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And Becca is like, what the hell? What is going on? And
oh,
I'm like,
my God.
Man, what they just did. So
you and I are like shut-ins. We're going to be like, we're never leaving our homes.
Oh my God, yeah. I was catching up this morning on This Is Us. At first I started watching it on my phone, and then I'm like, nah, I want to watch it on TV. And I went into the den, and Darren was like, what is this, Sunday?
Oh my God.
But it's crazy. I mean, it's like, there's so much great content. For us, it's something that we just like, you know, it's like being a kid in a candy shop because it's
just so much
fun to watch great stuff.
Absolutely.
So, reading too. And the exciting thing about reading is that Jeremy Murphy has a new book coming out in almost a month.
Oh, I know. March 1st. It's funny because I remember last year thinking like, oh, I can't wait that long, 6 months. And now it's like a month to go. And it's just kind of nerve-wracking because like, you know, I went to critics this week. I have no idea if they're going to like it or not. I don't really think I'll care much because I like it. And if someone doesn't like it, all right, whatever. You know, like when I'm in my 20s, I would have been devastated if someone didn't like what I did. Now, 46, I'm like, meh.
Well, you know what? And I always say this because I'm like your biggest fan, but you're such a great writer. You're just so funny.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you.
I'm excited for so many people to see your great work. And listen, as writers or, you know, when you've done so much in your craft, even when you've achieved so much, you still have that imposter syndrome, like feeling.
Absolutely.
Like, oh,
yep.
So you don't have to worry because you are a rock star, and I can't wait to see, you know, this book. Like, I was lucky enough to Jeremy asked me to write the foreword, so I do that. So that was fun, and I'm gonna get my own hard copy, and I'll be spreading the word with you.
You're gonna get several. And it's gorgeous. They did such a good job printing it. It's such a like it's hardcover, the pages are glossy, it's colorful, the cover just pops. I remember
and
when I got
everybody,
it.
I mean, listen, I know there are people that listen to us and know what we're all about, but tell us the title, but don't say the word, just tell us the title
right.
And tell us what the book is really about. Because people in our industry are like, is Jeremy naming names?
No, it's called F Off Chloe, Surviving the OMGs and FMLs in Your Media Career. And it's a humor book about the culture clash between young and old in the workplace. And I go further than that because a lot of young people, the Generation Z specifically, they come in with their own branded value statement and their expectations and their woke, you know, priorities. And they want everybody else to change. And I find great humor in that. So the book pokes fun at that. It makes fun of like people with their Google Docs, Spread Doc, WeTransfer, Dropbox, whatever. I can't stand that. And media, you know, I have a chapter called Things Media Cares About, but not really.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a sarcastic, it's funny, it's foul, it's surprising, it's, you know, it's outrageous. It's the kind of thing where I think people will read, but they'll hide it.
That's so funny.
It's kind of like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, because over the years, you and I, when we are going through frustrating, you know, times in our daily careers, we are, you know, the thing that we always find is humor, because
yes. You
can't get to the point where you're so down on something where just every day is you're just dreading it. And
right. To
make, you know, to kind of not take yourself so seriously in this field is super important. But it's tough. I mean, being a publicist, it drives me crazy because I'm a perfectionist and I like to be in control. And it's the one career that you can never be in control, ever.
You can't be in control, but, you know, you do have to have a sense of humor. And you have to realize what we do is ridiculous. I mean, it's really absurd sometimes, some of the things that we have to do to get people publicity. You know, we have crazy clients, you know, crazy pitches, you know, get me in this. I want to be in that. And we do this every day. And I just said, you know what? I could be just the most miserable person. I could get depressed. I could get angry. Or I could just make fun of it and just point out that this is absurd. But it's fun. I mean, like, you know, we have days that we hate it, but we have days where we laugh. And
right.
So that's the whole book. Like, if you have no sense of humor, you have no business reading this book.
Yeah, you'll be offended if you
offended.
There are a lot of people in our industry that don't have a sense of humor because they've been beaten down for so long that they don't even, you know, they're afraid of their own shadow. I mean, I do feel though what has been really refreshing to see are a lot of these articles kind of taking aim at the managers who are jerks. And we don't want that anymore. We don't want asshole bosses. And it's so refreshing because, you know, certainly throughout our careers, we dealt with difficult personalities and that behavior is no longer being rewarded or excused because that's what a big thing that happened.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. I think that, you know, a lot of people got called out on that. I also think that we have become way too sensitive and everybody is spending so much time being outraged. They're looking for things to be outraged about. And while we're being outraged, we're missing fun. Work isn't fun anymore for a lot of people. You know, like if people now it's like, you know, you say someone looks nice today and you'll get fired.
I know. And you know, it's interesting though, because I have to tell you, you know how like on Amazon Prime, it suggests shows for you to watch. So this show came up called Good Girls Revolt and I started watching it. And it's based on a true story about women who worked at Newsweek in the 1970s and how they were researchers and the reporters were all men and they weren't given a byline and they were just second-class citizens. They made a fraction of what the men made and they actually filed like a suit against them. But you see the misogyny that went on with those women. And I remember like, in the 70s, they were, it was horrifying what men did. And then in the 80s, it still continued a bit. And even into the early 90s. And we just took it for granted. Like, boys will be boys mentality. And that's not happening ever again.
Well, I think I don't want to say it's an even level playing field because, you know, there are instances where men still get more money than women for the same job, which is absolutely outrageous. But I do think we're getting closer to equality on that front. And I think what's great about it is, you know, women are finally speaking about it. You know, the Me Too movement, I think, gave a lot of people confidence and you know, a megaphone. And, you know, this stuff is not right. So hopefully that continues. I just worry about young people coming into the workforce, overly sensitive, who want a trophy for being there, who can't take constructive criticism because all their life, nobody ever told them they were anything but amazing, but a superstar. So anyways, we're going to have to go.
Okay. Yes, we are. We're ending the show. But this is great. And I, you know what? I think that we will have to figure out maybe we can commit to once a month. Is that okay with you?
Once a month. Let's start slow. And then we'll just see how it goes. But I love doing this.
Okay, me too. So, thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll be back sometime in February, just not telling you when.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.